Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikulskas, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
In the early 1950s, Grace Kelly was one of the best-known actresses in America. She made her screen debut in the 1951 film noir 14 Hours, directed by the great Henry Hathaway. In 1954, she would star in the Alfred Hitchcock thrillers Dial M for Murder and Rear Window, and she won Best Actress Oscar for her role in The Country Girl, playing opposite Bing Crosby. But in 1955, at age 26, she retired from acting after just 11 films to become the Princess of Monaco when she married Prince Rainier III. Author Carrie Mayer has told Grace Kelly's real-life Cinderella story in her new historical novel, The Girl in White Gloves. Carrie, Grace Kelly, born and raised in Philadelphia, she seemed on screen to be such a normal actress, a natural actress, but her parents were not supportive of this career choice. Why?
Well, you know, her father was an Olympic rower, and her mother was a head of athletics at Penn. And so I think that they thought of acting and the stage as being a little bit, unprofessional for a woman. They valued sports and, the sort of harder things in life. But she did have an uncle, her Uncle George, who was actually her father's brother, who was a Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright. He won the Pulitzer for a play called The Torchbearers. And so she did have some family support for her acting career.
I love Hitchcock films, and the stories about Hitch's relationships with his leading ladies, and most notably Tippi Hedren, they're legendary. But what was Grace Kelly's relationship like with Hitch?
You know, I loved this part of my research and learning about their relationship because it sounds like it was very jokey, actually. They were both raised Catholic, and that was a point of connection between them. And I guess many mornings on set, they would trade, like, nun jokes and priest jokes. The dirtier, the better. And she was actually able to give him a few notes on the script that he was directing, which was unusual for him to take into consideration notes from actors or actresses. So I think that they had a really excellent working relationship, one of, like, a lot of mutual respect and with some humor thrown in there.
When I first saw that this book was coming out, I just saw the title and that you had written it, The Girl in White Gloves. I hadn't even seen the cover or anything, but my mind immediately went to Grace Kelly for some reason, and I'm sure I'm not alone. So what is it about White Gloves that would immediately draw somebody's mind to Grace Kelly?
You know, that's a great question. And, you know, I looked at so many images of her, and I think she is wearing those white gloves, you know, elbow length and wrist length white gloves in so many photos. And in fact, one of her most famous, I think, promotional shots for a movie was of her in the black and white dress that she wears in her first scene in Rear Window. And it's a very frothy white tulle skirt with a black sort of ballet type top to it. And in that shot, she's wearing white gloves. And I think that they were ubiquitous with her, they became to be synonymous with her image. I think that's why we think of her that way. And when we think of white gloves, we think of Grace Kelly.
And I thought it was also interesting that the title is The Girl in White Gloves, not woman, not princess, not actress, but girl. Was there a reason for making that distinction?
You know, that's a great question. I think we like the way it sounded.
Okay.
You know, the woman in white gloves. I think, you know, the girl in white gloves, you know, and in some ways she is sort of frozen in our memories as a girl, you know. She got married at 26, as you said in your introduction.
Well, and not every historical figure, and least of all actresses, they have a life that cries out for a historical fiction novel. So what sort of markers did you find in Grace Kelly's life that told you that this is a project that could work?
Oh, well, you know, before I started writing, you know, what I knew about Grace Kelly was essentially what was in your introduction. I didn't know very much, but sort of even reading between the lines of what I knew, you know, she had done not very many movies. Like, I knew that she had done movies in the 50s, but I knew she hadn't done movies really after the 50s, and that presented a question for me. I was like, well, why was that? You know, how did she come to marry a prince in Europe, you know, this girl from Philadelphia? And so her life story presented just immediately some very, very interesting questions. And as soon as I started researching her and kind of pulling the thread, it just got more and more interesting. You know, learning, for instance, that her father was an Olympic rower and that her brother also was a rower. These are, like, interesting pieces of her life that I had no idea before. And, you know, another really interesting thing that I found out about her early on in my research is that she never set out to become a Hollywood star. She really set out to become a Broadway actress, and she is trained. She went to the American Academy of Dramatic Arts in Manhattan. She lived at the famed Barbizon Hotel for several years, and just learning about her, you know, the life that she led before she became Grace Kelly was just fascinating to me.
Well, and her Hollywood stories are great, too. I mean, she spent time at the Chateau Marmont, which is just a legendary location there on Sunset. As I think about her, I think about Marilyn Monroe, too, at that same era. They were fairly well contemporaries, but lives obviously went in two different directions. Did they have any connection?
Yeah, well, for a while, they shared an agent. Mm-hmm. A film agent. I don't think they certainly were not close friends. They didn't know each other, I think, other than just sort of casually on the scene. You know, another one of her direct contemporaries, in fact, she was born in the same year, 1929, is Audrey Hepburn.
Sure.
Yeah, Audrey Hepburn, sorry.
But as the Hollywood, did she ever get taken in by the Hollywood, the whole idea of it? I mean, was this something, was she always sort of surprised that she had gotten to this level of fame so quickly?
Yeah, I think she was surprised. And she did not love the Hollywood fame, you know, machine at all. She really was resentful of it and did not like the ways in which, you know, the gossip columns and the newspapers and everything would, you know, twist, the barest of facts or rumors about her life and, you know, print ridiculous things about her. But, of course, that was something that she wound up having to deal with her whole life. That aspect of her fame didn't go away when she left Hollywood and married Rainier.
Well, she had a fairly active dating life before marrying Prince Rainier. And so what was it about those experiences that shaped her into who she was when she finally became the princess?
You know, this is one of the things that also really surprised me about her life. You know, as a woman who was born in 1929 and sort of came of age in the late 1940s, that she had, you know, what I think most, you know, contemporary readers will call a pretty modern dating life. You know, she was living in New York City. She had boyfriends. She went out, you know, on dates. She went out on girls' nights out. I think that those romantic experiences shaped her in the way that, you know, early romantic experiences shape all of our lives, right? They help, you know, one breakup will, you know, made her think one set of things and made her realize that certain things were important to her. One of her most important premarital relationships was with the fashion designer Oleg Cassini, and that takes up quite a bit of space in the book, so I hope readers will be interested in reading more about that relationship. That was also interesting to me. I certainly had no idea that she was involved with Oleg Cassini, who's more famous for dressing Jackie Kennedy.
That's right.
And for ever having dated Grace Kelly.
Well, Grace Kelly and Prince Rainier dated for about a year before their marriage. What was their courtship like?
You know, it was almost entirely in letters. They met. This was also just so interesting. They met at basically a press junket. Like, the editor of Paris Match magazine arranged a photo shoot for Grace Kelly at Prince Rainier's palace in Monaco when she happened to be in town for the Cannes Film Festival. And he was late. It's a great story, and I go through it in some detail in the novel. So they meet, and it's really quite brief, but there's definitely some sort of connection between them. And they begin to correspond, and they write letters to each other for about 9 months. And then, remarkably, their second date, if you can call it that, is at Christmas at her family's house in Philadelphia.
Well, you know, she becomes a princess. The life of the princess has a certain connotation to it, probably thanks to Disney movies, as some magical, wonderful life. But what struggles did Princess Grace have during her reign, I guess?
Well, you know, you know, some of her struggles were the struggles of any wife and mother. You know, she had three children who had their own interests that she had to, you know, make sure that they were, you know, getting to school and sports and all those things. And she was married and wanted to keep her marriage, you know, happy. You know, but she also had to contend with, you know, the responsibilities of being a princess. And I think somewhere in there, she really missed acting. It was her passion and craft and art, and to give it up so wholly, I think was a hard thing for her to have to do. But she did find other outlets for her interest in the arts. You know, she certainly patronized the arts extensively in Monaco, founding the Princess Grace Foundation and other arts organizations. She was especially interested in the ballet in Monaco. And later in her life, she begins giving poetry readings.
What type of historical record, if any, did she leave behind that you could draw from to understand her as a person?
You know, this was tough. I really looked. You know, I wrote to a variety of historical societies and places where she lived. I wrote to the Palace of Monaco to try and access any letters or anything that she might have written in her own hand. And there just is hardly anything in the public domain. So I did a lot of what we call secondary research. The best trove of primary source material that I found is at the Margaret Herrick Library in Los Angeles. It's the library of the American Motion Picture Academy. It's their library. And they had some really interesting and excellent letters that she had written, like to Edith Head and to Cary Grant. And there were even a few letters that Rainier had written some of their Hollywood friends. So that was an interesting set of letters and things to read.
I know you also went to Monaco, which sounds so cool, but how is Princess Grace remembered in Monaco today?
Well, you know, this is actually the beginning of my author's note at the end of the book, which this is not a spoiler. She's remembered incredibly fondly, and the main reason I know this is because, you know, I was on my trip and I would meet people periodically, and people would say, "What are you doing in Monaco?" And I'd tell them I was writing a book about Grace Kelly, and everyone would always sort of sigh and smile and say, "Oh, she was wonderful, and what a great idea." But this cab driver I had, who basically drove me from my hotel to the Nice airport, said, you know, just how loved she was and what a terrible day for Monaco it was when she died so suddenly. And he talked about what he remembered exactly where he was and what he was doing when he heard the news. And I said to him, you know, but she wasn't always thought of that way, because I knew that she had kind of struggled to become a loved princess in Monaco. It took a while. It was not instant. And he said, "Oh, yes, well, in the beginning we did not know what to think of her. But once we knew her, we could not help but love her." And I just absolutely loved that as a statement about her. And I thought a lot about it and what it meant as I revised the book.
Such an amazing story that you've captured so well. The book is The Girl in White Gloves, a novel of Grace Kelly by Carrie Mayer. It's available now wherever your fine books are sold. Carrie, just a fantastic offering here that you've made, and I thank you for joining us today to talk about it.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakulskas. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.